this is a generation that is never going to work 9 to 5 in an office or workplace. You know, they kind of want to hang on. I could be schooled remotely. Why can't I work remotely? And also the online etiquette skills that these kids are developing are going to be second to none. I was talking to another dad about this the other day that with all the experiences they're getting, they're probably going to be better than the most adults or those kids that have just left university. They've spent so much time online, it's just what they do.
Hi, and welcome to Podcaster Stories. Each episode, we'll have a conversation with podcasters from across the globe and share their story, what motivates them, why they started a show, how they grew their show, and more. We'll also talk about their personal lives and some of the things that have happened that have made them the person they are today. And now here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hi, and welcome to Podcaster Stories, where we get to meet the people behind the voices of the shows we listen to. This week, I'm talking to John Adams, who's host of Dad Pod UK, a fatherhood and family life podcast that shares the different, unique experiences of fatherhood. John, welcome to the show. How about you introduce yourself and tell us about your podcast?
Well, hi, Danny. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on your podcast. So, Dad Pod UK, yeah, I launched it towards the end of 2020. I've been meaning to launch a podcast for a little while. And as you say, it's an audio podcast, audio only. I prefer them that way myself. And what I do is I speak to a different father in each episode, and I do go out of my way to try and interview fathers who have got a particular experience or story to tell or opinion. So the sorts of individuals I have interviewed so far was a chap called Lee Sands, who is actually a stepdad, and I'll talk about that in a bit more in a moment. But I've also spoken to a chap called Ryan, who is not only in a same-sex relationship, but also an adoptive father. So the various different angles when I spoke to him. I've spoken to a guy called David Breakspear, that was a fascinating interview. Now, he had spent much of his adult life in prison, so had actually missed a lot of his children growing up. So getting to learn about the impact on family life when dad is incarcerated was fascinating. And the person I've most recently spoken to, which was probably the most emotionally charged interview I've done to date, was with a guy called Dan White, who has a daughter with a number of different disabilities. And we spoke about what it's like to raise a disabled child. And the feedback I've had on that episode was that some people actually found it quite hard listening, because Dan was just so candid about the challenges that he has, to the point whereby he just admitted, is like, yeah, you know, I'm on antidepressants. And obviously I checked with him after that, like, you happy for this to be included in the podcast? Mm. He was very happy with that. So it's for me, it's just fascinating. Dads tend to be presented in the media as quite 2D characters, and yet actually you haven't got to scratch too far under the surface to find out that essentially every man who is a father has this unique story behind them. And I'm not saying that that doesn't apply to mothers as well. I mean, I'm sure every mother has got their own stories. Just, you know, my own background is, you know, I am a dad myself, and my own background is originally a blogger looking at fatherhood. So I'm just keen to shine a light on all the different experiences and types of father that are out there.
And you mentioned that you're a blogger. I know you've your actual Dad Blog UK, or dadblogUK.com, has been going for about 8 years now, I believe. And as you mentioned, the podcast since late last year. So was the podcast like a natural evolution of the next stage of the blog, or how did you come up with the show idea on top of the blog then?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I have to really go back a little bit further than that, because I essentially, to cut a long story short, became a stay-at-home dad. My wife and I had a very brutally practical decision that she had more earning potential, so I would give up my role and concentrate on family and home. And we had a blazing row, you know, to pick up on your Scottish accent there, Danny, had a blazing around Pizza Express in Glasgow. But she eventually actually realised that this was not a bad idea. So I became a stay-at-home dad. I did that for about a year. And I just noticed there were all these... I faced a lot of casual sexism. The world is basically not set up to accept that men can be caregivers to children. And it's a very lonely experience, and I faced a number of, as I say, sexist experiences, and I started blogging about it. Initially, it was quite ranty, if I can be honest. It was somewhere to get my feelings off my chest. And to my amazement, people actually started reading what I was putting together, and I set myself a limit. I said, if in 3 months I've achieved nothing, I'm going to stop this blogging. I didn't say what those achievements should be. I just, in 3 months, if I haven't, then I will. And to my great amazement, within 3 months, I found myself at a charity reception at number 10 Downing Street, which, of course, is the UK residence of the Prime Minister, whose name we won't mention. And I realised I was sort of, you know, having achieved that in that space time, I realised I was really onto something. So I kept on doing it, and the blog grew, and look, I'd just get terribly big-headed if I say too much, but it won a few awards along the way. And it has taken me from everywhere, from Canada in the west down to Australia in the east and various places in between. And it's been the most amazing experience. But over the past 2 or 3 years, I have increasingly got listening to podcasts. And I would very often listen to podcasts while doing the housework, which I think is partly why I prefer audio podcasts, because it's easier to put them on a speaker or headphones as you're working. And I just thought, you know, I really fancy giving this a go, because I used to be a journalist, so I've got a bit of broadcast media experience anyway. Oh yeah, you know, I'm going to try this. And I do actually have an agent who gets me work for my blog, and my agents weren't particularly keen on me starting a podcast, and I'm going to get in sorts of trouble for admitting that now, aren't I? I hope they don't listen. Sorry, Lee and Kay. But yeah, I thought I'm going to give this a shot. And I think ultimately, I think what it was, you know, lockdown happened, and, you know, everybody had these crazy ideas, didn't they, during lockdown? Thought, oh, I'm going to do something new. So I started the podcast, and it has got off in... I had an idea of sort of interviewing dads, and I thought I'd only make it a mini-series. But actually, I've really loved it, really enjoyed it, and I'm sticking with it, and I am going to be producing regular episodes going forward.
And as you mentioned earlier, you've heard a wide variety, obviously all dads, but with a wide variety of experience and stories to tell. And you mentioned it yourself, you know, what it's like being a stepfather and the challenges of same-sex parenting. And obviously there was a recent one, what it means to be a black dad in a very privileged society that's not set up for, you know, people of colour in general. How do you go about finding guests, and what's the process of what stories you want to share on the podcast?
Oh, Danny, I have to say, actually, that is quite a challenge, because I guess it's almost a lesson I learnt through blogging. I have a regular series on my blog called Dad Blog UK Q&A, and where I interview people who have an interesting opinion or some expertise in the field of families or health. Actually, I keep it sort of limited to those two, and I learned that, you know, I can be approached by PR people who want to push their client, and there have been one or two interviews I did for the Dad Blog UK Q&A series where the people I interviewed didn't actually turn out to be that great. So with the podcast, I do actually take a lot of time and effort to get the right guest. The episode you just mentioned there, where I interviewed Elliot Ray about being a black father within the UK. Elliot and I, we know each other anyway, he runs a sort of fatherhood network called Music Football Fatherhood. Do check it out, actually. It's very good. Although Music Football Fatherhood isn't solely open to ethnic minority communities, its user base is about 60%. You know, from ethnic minorities, and Elliot himself is a diversity and inclusion specialist, so he was ideal for this. So I was just very lucky that Elliot agreed to do it. The one that I took me ages to actually find a father who would speak to me was the interview with David Breakspear, who was the dad who'd been in prison. I couldn't get charities who would agree to it, and of course, serving inmates can't have any contact with the media, so they were off the record, or they were, you know, off the menu. So that took me ages. And actually, I'd gone through all sorts of channels via LinkedIn, trying to contact reformed criminals and so on and so forth. And eventually, something I hadn't done was just done a quick Twitter search. And sure enough, David came up, and I messaged him, and he was good to go. But it took me ages to actually reach that point. But I am fussy. There have been one or two where I've had to sort of turn down or, you know, not record them. But I think it's because I'm so fussy about what I'm going in with. I've got a very clear point. I mean, coming up, I've got an interview with a dad whose child was conceived via IVF. One that I'm really looking forward to, although it may be very, very niche, is I'm going to be interviewing a dad whose wife is actually quite a senior cleric in the Church of England. Because I just, you know, there are all these stereotypes about the vicar's wife, but what's it like if the role is reversed? Sorry, for North American audiences, you know, vicar, priest, you know, so yeah, I think that would be quite an interesting one. So it's a case of coming up sort of slightly offbeat, maybe interesting. You know, just coming up with dads who aren't very often interviewed.
And I'd imagine as well, because of the sometimes the topics that you're talking about, as you mentioned, they can get very raw and emotional. Have you found that there's been any topics that dads don't want to talk about on the show, or they've been pretty good so far?
No, they've been pretty good so far. I mean, in terms of raw and emotional, the one standout interview, well, there's Dan White, who has Emily, his daughter, who has some disabilities. But the other one was actually a guy called Dr. Robin Hadley, who is the only non-father who I've interviewed. Now, I interviewed him because he's involuntarily childless. He's always wanted children, but circumstances meant that it's never happened, and he's now in his 60s, and he's actually turned the study of involuntarily childless men into his own academic research, or should I say into a field of academic research. And that was very emotional. I mean, Robin has got quite a track record of speaking to the media, so I didn't expect there'd be any problems. But no, I haven't as of yet come across anyone who's just refuse to talk about the subject, or that, you know, that they've agreed to. I mean, I think that's partly because, like I say, I'm very fussy, and I vet people, and I brief them as well. You know, I will say, I'm going to ask you X, Y, and Z. You know, I know what I want to get out of a podcast. I should add, way back through the mist of time, I used to be a journalist, so I'm quite used to asking the questions.
Yeah, and obviously got great research skills as well, so that's obviously going to help. Now, obviously, you mentioned earlier that you made a decision to be the stay-at-home dad for your two kids, and your guests are dads themselves. So is there anything that you've taken from your guest experience that you've sort of implemented into your own teaching or, you know, raising your own kids?
The interview with Elliot Ray, about his experiences as a black father, it did get me thinking about whether we should be having more discussions about race and ethnicity at home. We are a white family, I mean, I've got all sorts. I mean, my background is incredibly mixed, as it happens, but I am white. But listening to what Elliot had to say on the subject did just it got me thinking that actually we like to all think we're living within the same planet, the same country, and having similar experiences. But actually, when Elliot was saying he's walking around a shop and he knows he's being followed by the security staff because of the colour of his skin, and he has to worry about how his daughter is spoken to, and that he wouldn't want to live in an exclusively white community because he'd want to live and make sure there were people around him who'd had the similar life experiences. It just sort of got me, it made me sort of realize just how different actually our life experiences can be, and that this should be shared with my children. So that is something that I have taken away, a greater exploration of race, ethnicity, and having a greater understanding.
And I certainly mean, the discussion, as you mentioned, about race should always be top of mind. But I think in the UK at the moment, with the racial abuse that sports stars are going through, like some of the football players that you see in the papers that are getting, you know, like Marcus Rashford did a great thing, obviously, with the Hungry Kids and making sure that there was a movement to feed hungry kids. And he still got abused because of that, saying he shouldn't be involved because he's the wrong colour. And you think, really? You know, you just can't put your head to that mindset.
No, you can't, and especially when Marcus Rashford has made no secret about his background either. Single parent family with a mum who struggled, did an exceptionally good job. I don't think there's any. I mean, look at the individual she raised. You're right. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He's lived it.
Now, I'd imagine you mentioned earlier as we were speaking in the green room, we're under lockdown at the moment. How's that been? What difference has that, you know, brought to what differences has that made to the dynamic of raising your kids under, you know, what's been going on, I guess, in the last 12 months or so?
Oh, dreary. I'm really at wit's end now. Well, the situation in the UK. We as a family had an added complication in that our eldest daughter, Helen, who is 11, started secondary school, or high school, as I guess you probably call it in North America. So she's left, what would you call it, elementary school, primary school?
Yeah, elementary, yeah.
Yeah. So she's left that environment and to go to secondary school, but of course the schools in Britain were shut down towards the end of March last year. So her primary school, we thought her primary schooling had just come to an end in March, and we thought that was it. In fact, the certain age groups were cherry picked and did actually return to school for 1 month of schooling during the month of June. And Helen's year group was one of them. So she had several months of what was at that time actually homeschooling, where I had to move my computer down onto the dining room table and I had to sit down with both my daughters and we did the tasks that the school set. They very rarely lasted the whole school day. But it was very much kind of it was really thrown together at speed. I mean, actually, my daughter's school was one of the better ones, but things were thrown together at speed. So she's faced a challenge of starting secondary school, having had that end to her elementary school years. But she's gone to secondary school, having to abide by one-way systems, having to wear face masks with certain groups of pupils at certain times, having to be removed from school and being ordered to spend 2 weeks at home. There's been no after school activities, no sports activities. And for my youngest daughter, she didn't return to school again until September. So she's gone up a school year, having not really finished the previous school year. And then it essentially from December, the school's closed down for the Christmas holidays and they haven't reopened since, but they've gone to remote schooling this time. And this time the remote, and I use that term specifically because this time there are live lessons, and there's much more interaction with the with their class and their teachers and their head teachers, and it's a much more structured school day, and the kids are actually getting some learning out of it. I mean, it doesn't replicate what they should be doing at school, but that's been the situation since December, really. My concern isn't actually so much for how much they're going to miss academically. My concern is the impact on their social development, because the added thing, and I don't know how the lockdown is over there, Danny, but over here, basically since December, everything has been shut. So all non-essential retail has been shut. You cannot meet with your neighbours. You can go to the supermarket to buy clothes. You can go to the supermarket to buy... Don't go to the supermarket to buy clothes. Go to the supermarket to buy food. But the kids can't see their friends. They can't mix with their friends. They can't mix with their family. We can go out and exercise, but that's all you're allowed to do. And my real concern is how their social development, what impact this is having on their social development. And in fact, my youngest daughter said to me the other day that she wished she could get a time machine so that she could go forward and just skip the corona years, what's left of them. And I think there's one thing that I don't know, obviously know what message you're being given there in Canada, but coronavirus is a virus. We've seen several variants come up already where the vaccines that are being rolled out will provide some protection for, but not necessarily. I think we're having to prepare for the fact that this is a disease, and possibly the first we're experiencing in the Western world, where we're not getting rid of it. And having coronavirus testing kits in the family medicine cupboard is going to be as common as plasters and skin healing cream and cold remedies, and that's going to be the future. I mean, and it's a brighter future once we have all been vaccinated, but it ain't going away. It's a disease we've now got to live with. And so I know that schools will go back, the school years will mix again, but we're not getting rid of it, I don't think.
No, and that's an interesting point you mentioned about the social aspect. Our son, he's 11, so same age as your eldest, and he's very much a social butterfly. So he likes to get out and play football. He likes to mix with his friends. He's on a football team over here, and he's missed all that because we're under the same lockdown restrictions that you're under. And we've seen the impact on him. You know, he's really become more prone to outbursts and stuff. And he's not like that, you know. So I completely agree. I think when we look back in years to come, there's definitely going to be a huge spike in, say, mental health issues or, you know, the social aspect on the kids that are trying to go through this.
There is, it is a huge worry. On the other hand, I have, I've unfortunately not been able to put this into my podcast in a suitable way yet, but it will happen. But I have put it on my blog. There's a lot of focus, and quite rightly, on the negative aspects of COVID. We all know people who've had it and had it very badly, and I'm sure some listeners were unfortunate people who have you know, passed away or got long COVID and so on. But I do predict this is going to be a fascinating generation to watch, because their formal education is getting the life pummeled out of it, but they are getting the most fascinating informal education. In, you know, I don't know what you're doing with your kids, Danny, but I'm getting my kids to use the washing machine, the tumble dryer. I'm, you know, getting to do cooking and baking, and they're getting a lesson in resilience, tolerance, understanding. And also, when they're doing their remote learning, you know, this, you've got to think about this. You've got this generation of kids from the age of like 4 to sort of 22, 23, university age, who have all they've now had two academic years punctuated with huge spells of remote learning. This is a generation that is never going to work 9 to 5 in an office or workplace. You know, they kind of want to hang on. I could be schooled remotely. Why can't I work remotely? And also the online etiquette skills that these kids are developing are going to be second to none. I was talking to another dad about it the other day that with all the experiences they're getting, they're probably going to be better than the most adults those kids that have just left university. They've spent so much time online, it's just what they do.
It will be that's a great point you raise about the remote and what the generation is going to be like. I know here in Canada there's a huge discussion at the moment about universal basic income and enabling people to be ready for something like this so they can stay at home and, you know, bring the virus spread down because they're at home, so they're not out and they don't have to go to work sick or they don't have to go to school sick. Because I know we're, as parents, we can be guilty of sending our kids to school with a runny nose when really they should be at home so they're, they're not, you know, making anybody else sick. So it's going to be, like you say, that's a great point about what's the benefits on society as a whole, you know, from this. What are we going to take from lessons as we move forward?
I'm really glad to hear they're having that conversation in Canada, that the Irish are having a similar conversation. Unfortunately, the government in the UK, I don't know if I've hidden this well so far, but I've got very little time for, their one concern seems to be to forcing people back to the office, that they'll buy sandwiches and keep major sandwich retailers alive. Good grief, Danny, we've gone well off topic regarding the podcast. But actually, this is a huge one of the things I do. I'm actually involved with LinkedIn as a change maker, and one of the things I'm involved with campaigning for is to make flexible working more available to anybody with caring responsibilities. And one of the points I've made with my campaigning work with LinkedIn is it's a different situation in Canada, but in the UK, obviously, we've got a much more compact population base where people commute into these cities every day to work. Where with COVID, with people working from home and people not wanting to go back to work in the cities 5 days a week, we've got this opportunity to actually take these businesses and to relocate or to have small independent businesses open up in the provinces where people are actually working at home. So you can work at home, you can go to your local coffee shop. Instead of having to buy Starbucks, you can buy something from a family-run business. You know, the long-term possibilities, you know, I think some good can come out of this. It's obviously an utter tragedy for the many, many people who were involved who have fallen ill with COVID. There's some good could come out of this.
So you mentioned, to get back to the topic, because you said that, well, that's my fault, sorry for drifting you off there. you'd mentioned that obviously you've been a stay-at-home dad for 10 years. And what have you found? Have you found the fact that because of the lockdowns, you've had more quality time to be involved with your daughters and what they're learning from a life point of view, as opposed to when they were going to school regularly and then coming back? So you were seeing them maybe, you know, less time during the day, whereas now you're seeing them more. How has that benefited you yourself as a dad?
I'm going to probably totally confuse you here and say for me it hasn't, but for my wife it has been a huge change, actually, because my wife would leave the house at sort of 6:30 in the morning. She'd get back at about 7 o'clock at night normally prior to COVID, but for the past year she's been working from home. So actually when the kids have been going to school, she's been around in the mornings to help me get them ready, and she's been around in the evenings to help them with schoolwork, and we have done more activities as a family, you know, within lockdown rules, which at the minute means we can't actually do much more than go out for a walk together. But that has happened pretty much every day. So for my wife Jill, she's got to spend a lot more time with the kids. I suppose if I were to get all deep and meaningful about this, I think what I have taken away from this is I could, should, and am relaxing a bit more with the kids. I guess I'd possibly always have felt under pressure that every activity should be educational, or every activity should be, let's just say every activity should be educational. When actually, no, it doesn't have to be. And yes, I will cook my kids pancakes every day for breakfast while I can, because why not? I'm not going to get the chance to do this anymore. They want them. It's a bit of fun. And actually, we waste a lot less milk as a family in pancakes compared to breakfast cereal.
My daughter's got some pancakes on the go upstairs. She's 8, so this is the first time actually going back to your point about, you know, learning life lessons. She's 8. Oh no, you know what? She's 9 now. She turned 9 this month. Bad me. So she's making pancakes. Now you've got 2 daughters, and you'd mentioned earlier about the same sex parent guest from your show. We've got a boy and a girl, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to be gender neutral, and there's no pink for girls, blue for boys, all that kind of stuff, and we try, you know, knock that on the head if it comes up in TV or whatever. How's that been for yourself as a father to 2 girls? Is these kind of conversations ever come up, or?
They do. Interestingly, I have, when the kids were younger, on a couple of occasions, I took them both to one side and sort of had to say, look, you do realise you come from quite a unique, probably not the word I used, but you come from quite a rare family, and that you've got a mummy who goes out to work every single day, and you've got me at home doing everything for you. You know, have you got any concerns over that? And I remember having that conversation with my eldest at one point. Was, you know, any concerns, any questions? And she looked at me and she said, yeah, can I have some chocolate? You know, they just see that sort of age. They just see through these things. Interestingly, though, my 2 daughters are slightly different in approach. My eldest daughter will question that type of thing if she comes across it. You know, she comes across sexism in any form. She does highlight it. She does sort of question it. My youngest daughter, Izzy, not so much. But that said, I think there is something to be said for having a father as a main carer. I mean, someone did actually once say to me, and I've never actually got around to referencing this, which I would like to do, but that girls who have a father as main carer are apparently more confident. And the logic is, so I'm told, that men are raised to be risk takers. It's what happens in your childhood. Your mother and your father, you know, raise you to take risks. And then you, as a man, as a main carer for your children, you then pass that on to your daughters. So they, to put it bluntly, they take a slightly more masculine look on the world, and they react to it accordingly. And I think that's possibly what's happened with my kids. And I'm not saying I agree with that, and I'm not saying that's right, and it says an awful lot about our expectations of gender and how we raise children. So I'm not saying it's right that it should work that way, but if my kids are going to benefit from it, let that be, you know, that's great as far as I'm concerned.
And obviously you've got, as you mentioned, you've got an older daughter who's now in high school, secondary school. I try to remember the UK term. I've been away for that long now. I apologise. And getting close to becoming a teenager. How's that? Has there been any changes that you've seen, and how are you approaching that? Any difficult conversations coming up?
I had some difficult conversations already. I have noticed there's it's different. You know, that is an interesting thing though, Danny. How much of this is lockdown and how much of this is growing up? I don't know. I've noticed with the eldest that there has been a change in mood and temperament. And it's quite, as I say, it's quite difficult to know how much of that is down to months of tolerating this infernal lockdown and how much of it is just growing up and age and naturally striking out for independence. I don't know, but yes, there have been changes, and yes, there are all manner of conversations that have been had. But I have to say, one of the things I'm always very I push quite hard on is I think that awkward conversations, whether it be about menstruation, sex, puberty, whatever, I'm a firm believer that those should start at home, and that school should merely fill in the gaps.
Yeah, it's for sure. It's like I know we're trying to have the conversations, like you say, but and try not to make it to your point about mummy just won't speak to the daughter, and daddy just won't speak to the son about these things. We're trying to make it a mixed, a mixed conversation, and that's such a key thing, like you say, to make sure that the confidence is there on all sides.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things I would always say is actually when it comes to having awkward conversations with children, and the one example I would give, and I do apologize if I'm taking your podcast off into to territory it's never quite been into before, is periods. Okay, men as fathers are in a spectacularly strong position to talk to their daughters about periods, because women are raised to think of periods as taboo, and women really don't like talking about it. Whereas men, the way guys are raised, as I say, I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm not saying it's the right way that we raise the particular genders, but men are raised to think practically. So men can go into that conversation with their daughters and say, this is what's going to happen. It's biology. This is what you've got to do about it. And can just go in there completely fearless without any of the taboos that a lot of women, unfortunately, have got because of the way, women are raised and raised to talk about periods. And this is where it goes back to my sort of experiences, not so much with the podcast, but with the blog. I mean, I've had women comment on my blog or on my social media channels in the past who tell me they've like got 13-year-old daughters and they have never spoken to them about sex or about periods. I would be horrified if a father told me he'd never spoken to his 13-year-old daughters about those things. And to hear a mum saying those things, it just, yeah, I just find that staggering. Actually also really quite sad that people feel quite so het up that they can't actually discuss this. But hey, Daddy, I mean, you're from Scotland, and I know being married to a Scot that the Scots can be even more reserved than the English. So I dread to think, I think between us, our two nations excel in possibly feeling awkward about discussing these things.
And I was going to ask you that because do you think it is a cultural thing? Because I look at Europe, you look at France, and you look at Italy, that seem to be, for example, they have wine as a normal, dinner drink, and they'll have 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, having a glass of wine at dinner. Mm-hmm. So there's less chance of alcoholism in Europe, or at least in the countries that promote that. So do you think it's a cultural thing that we are regressed in the UK versus, say, Europe or North America to a degree, or Australia / New Zealand?
Oh, well, it depends on the subject matter, you see, because for my sins, I am actually half French. Now, when it comes to issues of gender equality, the UK and actually Canada is a shining light on this front as well, is actually quite, well, it's not as advanced as Sweden's, Norway's, Iceland's, Finland's of this world. But I would rather raise my kids in the UK than necessarily in France or Germany or Italy. Maybe not so much Germany. Germany, and I'll give the Germans and the Dutch a pass out. But I think when it comes to gender equality, those nations are actually behind us. And the thought of me doing what I do, being the main carer for my kids, would be you know, in the UK, it's sort of a bit interesting. I mean, it would be nigh on revolutionary, I think, in those societies. But, you know, when it comes to booze and drugs and that sort of thing, I just think the UK's got a problem. I really do. We've got quite an unhealthy approach to those types of things. Not necessarily, you know... Yeah, I think there are European countries out there where they probably have got bigger issues, actually. But, yeah, I think a certain amount of it is culture, you know, nature, nurture, all of that. Mm.
Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, I'm not sure, does your wife listen to your podcast?
Do you know, I don't actually encourage her to engage with anything I do online. I don't encourage anyone I know to, actually. I just feel I've got a more free rein, you know, if but, you know, obviously people find out and they do. So, yeah. No, my wife isn't hugely engaged with my podcast. So you can ask what you like, Danny.
Well, no, I was curious if there'd been anything that you spoke about with your guests and you've used an example from your own parenting and she's listened afterward and says, you didn't do that, or I wish you'd done that, or whatever that your guest had said and everything that popped up there.
No, that hasn't happened yet. I mean, it will happen. Of this, I'm sure. But no, it hasn't happened yet. Okay. I'm sorry to let you down on that one. I wish I could give you an example where that had actually happened.
I'm going to try find a contact detail for your wife and just say, you've got to listen to the show because it's going to be speaking about this. So your podcast, you launched it at the end of last year, so still relatively new. What's your goals as you move forward? Are you going to move into video? You mentioned that you prefer audio. Are you thinking of maybe moving to video, or would you like to get back to, say, in-person interviews? What kind of plans have you got for the show?
Yeah, well, what I've decided to do for the foreseeable future is I'm going to produce an episode monthly. Now, I may up that in time. What I was incredibly fortunate, and I have to say I was staggered to have done this, was there was a new podcasting award was launched in the UK just a few months back, the Podcasting for Business Awards, and I entered my podcast into it, into the family category. And to my amazement, I didn't win it, but I did get the runner-up prize, which I was staggered by, actually. And it sort of made me think that, well, I must be onto something here. So I'm definitely going to keep at it. My plans are to grow audience, and you're absolutely right, it is a very new podcast, so I'm not that your 10th episode will be out very soon, in the next few weeks. What I know I have got to do, and what I have taken steps to do, is to improve the quality of my audio. Not that it's, don't get the wrong idea, it's not been shocking, but I know that on some episodes it's been better than on others. When I started off, I wasn't sure if I was going to keep doing this forever, so I basically bought a gamer's headset, and that's what I recorded the first few episodes on. But then I did have a particular episode where an individual, although I was sort of microphoned up and everything, it was done via Zoom, and he was on a laptop, and he kept moving away and kept moving forward. And I said, oh, am I allowed to swear, Danny?
Yeah, well, I can always bleep it, or I can put it to explicit for the
sex. It's like, okay, I may have said, you know, a few swear words. Like, can't you just stay still? You know, so I've spoken to other people and learnt a few tips, so I'm improve my audio quality in future episodes is going to be much better. Also invested in mic and so on, and I've had a lot more ideas to the types of fathers that I am going to interview. Now, obviously, I reckon I've probably got a good 4 or 5 years worth of fathers I could actually interview. At some point, I imagine I probably will want to broaden out. And the other thing I'm looking to do is do much more like this, actually speak to other people on other people's podcasts, which is great fun, actually. A comment that was made to me was, podcasting is like what blogging was 10 years ago. And actually, when I started podcasting, obviously I've got the experience of a blogger, and when I got involved, I thought, actually, I do see some similarities to what I was doing with the blog sort of 8 years ago. And I thought, I can predict what's going to happen with podcasting in certain aspects and sort of see what I've got to do. So I will be using my experiences, that I learned blogging to sort of try and grow my audience as a podcaster, because I would like to grow it seriously. And I just, Danny, I do just love it. What I've found is there is a fantastic podcasting community, and I think also podcasting has boomed due to COVID. And the thing I find fascinating is when I look through all the various podcasts, some of the podcasts I like to listen to are actually some of the fiction, what once upon a time we would have called radio plays. No idea what you call them on podcasts. That's podcast plays, I don't know, but I listen to loads of them. And the number of A-lister Hollywood stars that are cropping up doing podcasts because they're not doing any filming. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's just, I see huge potential there. And what's been really interesting, actually, is to sit back and watch how Clubhouse is booming as well. And I am on Clubhouse. Not that I've done a great deal with it yet, but I think all the people I'm following, all the people I follow, there's definitely a podcast theme there. They're all people who I would love to hear doing something audio, but I wouldn't necessarily read it or watch video. But in answer to your question, would I do video? I sort of got my fingers burnt a few years ago. I tried making it as a YouTuber and had to accept the fact that maybe I'm not that good.
Well, it's a very different medium. I know, like a couple of guests I was speaking to a couple of months back, the gentleman had said, "You've got a great face for podcasting." And I was thinking, did you just insult me, or was that like a compliment or whatever? I wasn't really sure there. But, I don't think I feel really uncomfortable, even if I'm doing like trainer videos or whatever. Like little explainer videos about podcasting. I get really awkward, and I'm far different from when I'm just speaking on a show like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do just think of it a bit differently. I think it was Ice-T once said, for those under the age of 40, very famous rapper who went into acting, I remember him saying once that whenever he cut a new tune, he would go to his car and stick it on the stereo, and he'd say, because what do you do when you're driving? You're listening to music. And those words always stuck with me, actually. It was a very interesting comment to make. Because actually, in this day and age, when you Bluetooth your phone to the car or whatever, actually, no, you might not be listening to music. You might be listening to podcasts or whatever. And I think that's actually the beauty of podcasts, is the fact that, it's streaming media radio almost. I mean, you choose to when you listen to it, and you've got such a wealth of stuff that you can actually choose to listen to. If you're shooting a video, shoot a video. I'm probably going to upset a few people by saying this, but I kind of think the podcast video genre, you're making a video, you're not making a podcast. I think by rights, podcasts should kind of be audio only. And I now wait for the hate mail.
If you're on any of the podcasting groups on Facebook, you'll get a lot of that. Because that's one of the big conversations I see all the time, is when someone says about, to your point, it's a video you just made. No, it's a podcast, not a video. And the comments just light up. You can sit back with your popcorn and just watch it unfold.
Well, again, I've sort of got to come back to my experiences, not so much as a blogger, but when I've had to create content in video format. I mean, I've got a cupboard here that is full. As every now and again, I have to do it again, and I've got the lights, and I've got a standalone video camera. I've also got GoPros. I've got all that stuff. Pod podcast, actually, you don't really need much more than a really good set of headphones and a good microphone. They are so different skills that you need for producing for the different media. I'm just putting my flag in the ground now and saying audio only podcasts. Yeah, anything else is a video. Sorry.
I'm curious. Would you ever consider, obviously your show is about dads and their experiences, would you ever consider having your daughters on to talk about their experience being raised by a dad?
I'd never thought of it, but yes, what a brilliant idea. That could be really interesting, actually. And I really should ask them about that and see if they would be up for that, because I think they would be. It would be really quite difficult to edit that episode, I think. But no, that's a really good idea, Danny. No, I should do that. I should do that. And just see what they think and what they say, totally unscripted. I think that would be huge fun.
It'd be interesting to listen back to that for sure.
I think it would. I mean, look, that's the whole of the podcast genre, isn't it? Getting kids to be interviewed about their parents. I mean, yeah, what a great idea. I should speak to you more often, Danny.
Yeah. So, John, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today, and I could speak with you for hours. And unfortunately, my show is not a Joe Rogan length, and I really, I don't think my listeners want like a 3-hour show or whatever. So for people that have enjoyed listening to you as well and want to know more about your podcast or your blog and listen to the stories of your guests, where's the best place for them to connect with you online and listen to your podcast?
Right, best place to listen to me online. Well, the podcast, it's hosted by Libsyn. So it's Dad Pod UK. You will also find the podcast on, this is where I have to try and remember it all, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Audible, Spotify. How could I forget Spotify? So it's on all the major channels, and also a number of the slightly smaller ones as well. You will find Dad Pod UK. It has got a Twitter feed, but I'm not really active on there. But you'll find Dad Pod UK on Instagram and on Facebook. For the blog, blog is dadbloguk.com, and you will find at dadbloguk on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. I'm sure I've missed something out there, but you know, that's enough.
Yeah, and I'll be sure to link all that in the show notes. So if you're listening on your favorite app, make sure to check out the show notes as usual, and all the links will be there to catch up with John wherever you want to go. So, John, I really appreciate you coming on today. Like I said, I've really enjoyed catching up with your show as I've been listening to it, and I'm looking forward to the new episodes coming out and the new show you're about to launch as well, obviously.
Oh, well, thanks ever so much, Danny. Thanks for having me on your podcast. It's been great fun.
You've been listening to Podcaster Stories. If you enjoyed this week's show, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and feel free to leave a review on iTunes to help others find the show too. And we'll see you the next time on Podcaster Stories.